realize I was doing what I've probably been doing for quite a while. Do you talk to yourself? Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're all guilty of talking to ourselves. And I think about it, and the more and more I'll say, my wife will say something, or somebody will say something at work, and I'll say, you what? And I'll go, oh, no, I was just saying something to myself. And it happens a lot. And sometimes you just don't know who's listening and whether it's you or whether you need to concentrate. But this psalm, David is sort of talking to himself, but he's also talking to God. And he's been going through a bit of a rough patch. And this psalm he's written and he's etched down as an aid to concentrate on what is important with his relationship with God, and to remember and to remind ourselves what we should be doing when we've strayed. First came across, obviously, as I just mentioned, as a chorister at St. Leonard's, a little boy of about 8 years old singing psalms. And this was the first time I came across Psalm 103. And it's been a backdrop for my life and my Christian life for quite a while. Evensong is always slightly different, and the wording is slightly different, and you sing it to a chant. I'm not going to sing all 22 verses, but I'll just give you a semblance of it. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And that went on for all 22 verses, repeating the canto. And it's one of those things that actually, when you're young and you're a little boy, you always think, do you know what? That's just a song. That's just music. That's just what it is. But actually, when you read it, it leaves an impression on your life. And it left an impression on me. It's like a mini guidebook, a reminder of what is wrapped up in all the verses of what, as Christians, we believe and where we should be. David at this time clearly had problems with his faith at the time of the writing of this psalm. So what better way than to put down in words what he and we take for granted, we dismiss and at times forget. Verse 1, 2, 20, 21 and 22 remind us 6 times who we are and who we need to be thankful to. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise him. Praise to the Almighty. Whatever he says, it's all about praising God. Many people will have seen the life of Brian and the sketch that says, what have the Romans ever done for us? Or the BBC have took a little more recent one and said, what has the BBC ever done for us? And you can put in whatever you like, what has so-and-so done for us, or whatever it might be, what has the council done for us, what has church done for us, whatever it might be. But this psalm reminds us what God has done for us. We are all reminded by David exactly within verses 2 to 5 what God has done for us. He has forgiven us. In the Old Testament, not always forgiveness to the perpetrators, but often to others around or to descendants. Jesus re-emphasized that, of course, in the Gospels centuries later, and then the disciples in the epistles. He gives us healing. It's a song and a psalm about when people are estranged or ill in sickness, whether they're going through trials that they can't cope with, whether they're going through temptations as Jesus is in the desert, despair, depression, redemption. From the pit of despair is what it says, the pit of despair. He's given us the good as well. He reminds us, this psalm reminds us, and David reminds us, that he's given us benefits. Right early on, it talks about benefits. Every blessing God has given us, his creation, the life, the food, each other, and subsequent blessings of children, etc., 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 that enrich our lives daily. He's given us satisfaction, being held in the love of the Lord and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is always a satisfying, loving, comforting thing. As for all, God knows every hair on your head. Even though as you get older, the hairs grow fewer, he still knows every hair on your head. He's given us youth, has he? I look old and decrepit when I look in the mirror, but I don't think it means youth as in I look like a baby. It's more about not the physical, but the spiritual youthness. The spiritual youthness in our heart, in our minds, in our souls. After all, Jesus said, let little children come to me, or be childlike. The body will go one day to glory, and then we will be. No more pain, no more sadness. And that body, that human body we have here on earth, has nothing to do with the youth that we are going to get when we're in heaven, to be childlike. Our shell at the moment doesn't matter. Even after all this, David reminds us with a historic reference. Verse 7, he goes back to Moses and the deeds of his people, the disappointment God had felt in his people at that time, and how through the trials, God brought them back out of the desert and into the promised land. Not necessarily for the people who praised the idols at the time, but for the descendants who followed. We also look at Abraham, which we've been looking at recently. He went his own way, then realized he'd made a mistake and went back to God, and God then blessed him. Job was similar. He went his own way, and again, he gave up. He realized what God wanted was it, and God blessed him. God is always showing mercy. So in verse 8, to Moses and the Israelites, bringing them back to him, those who stray, they find their way back. God finds a way to get them back on track. The Old Testament God may have been used fear tactics at times, but he did also show compassion and love. When forgiving, Jesus emphasized this and took it one step further, using verse 8 as a backdrop to compassion, slow to anger, love and grace. After all, Jesus gave us two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Yeah? And he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. God treats us differently. We don't always treat others as we should, or as God treats us, or how Jesus would have treated us. We think in human terms of frustration and anger, but God forgives our sins and our iniquities, as verse 10 states. He forgives and gets us back on track. If we repent and ask for absolution, we are reminded by David in verse 11 and onwards where God is. He is in the heavens, and we are his people. Anyone who takes notice of God and who loves God, who loves Jesus or the Holy Spirit, are all God's people. All over the place we are. It refers to east and west, but I'm sure north and south are not excluded. Reaching out, God is always reaching out to his people. God in heaven oversees us and watches over us. A father who loves his children, his creation. He has compassion for us and would put us back on his path when we stray. He knows he created us from dust. He knows we have only limited abilities, a limited time on earth. But what we do with this time is the key. If we stick to the path our Lord has asked us of us, then here is just the beginning of our loving relationship with him. Verse 18 tells us, those who keep his covenant and obey the rules given to us will, as Jesus told us, join the glory of the heavenly host along with those who have gone before and the hosts of heaven, all angels, seraphim, cherubim, everything, praising our Lord. It's no coincidence, some of you will have spotted, it's no coincidence with the music today so far. Because this psalm has lent itself to so many great, great songs that have derived from the verses of this psalm. And it just so happens, because this is my favourite psalm and I'm indulging a bit, I'm also going to let you hear my favourite song. We have sung it in this church before, but it's a long time since, so I'm not going to ask you to sing it. We're going to listen to it on a CD. So if our maestro would like to play the CD, As High as the Heavens Are Above the Earth.
Thank you.
And that more or less sums Psalm 103 up quite well in a song. It basically talks about the creation, talks about before creation, before time began. It talks about God is our hope, is our refuge, is our strength. We accept He has made us, He created us, He's created the world. And when we're down and we're struggling, and we're really not on top form and we strayed, God is there. But to praise God when you're feeling that way is probably one of the hardest things to do. All the songs in this service today have a derivation in Psalm 103. It's as if we've just like put it together for once. So, this is my favourite psalm. David has captured in verse a map, a guidebook, a reminder of what we as Christians are called to do. When I fall or fail, as I do and as I will, this psalm and the song that you've just heard remind me what I should be, where I should be, where I should be in my faith, and most importantly, who it is that guides me, who it is that watches over me, who loves me for who I am, with all His heart. With all my faults and with all my failings, He still loves me. So this psalm starts and ends with the one who should be the center of our lives. St. Paul's letter to the Philippians says it slightly different, but sums it up in another way what your faith should be. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, we should always think about these things. So Psalm 103 gives us a positive, healing, loving guide to our lives. We should love and praise one another, cherish each other for who you are, who we are, who they are, and what anyone brings to the table. But always be reminded, no matter who God sends us and who we work alongside, who is the giver. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen.